form it, and he reached out with his hand, holding a crown of camel hair and woven gold. An egal fit for a chieftain. Despite the legendary bargaining prowess of the Bedin, the older man's eyes betrayed him, sparkling at the sight. Alpirs dismounted, Untaris close behind, and walked his horse over to the robed figure. "Well met, Jinjap," he said with a bow, presenting the precious egal, which he pulled back immediately as the Bedin reached for it. "You approve of the payment, I take it?" Alpirs said with a wry grin. In response, Jinjab reached up and touched his own egal, which secured the kafia upon his head. It was a weathered, black affair, once woven with precious metals, but now little more than fraying camel hair. To the Bedin, the egal spoke of stature, of pride. "De girl is in de camp," he said in his heavy Bedin accent. Every word was spoken crisply, distinctly and efficiently, to keep the blowing sand out of their mouths, Alpirs had once explained to Untaris. "De camp is over de ridge in the east," Jinjab explained. "My work be done." He reached for the egal once more, but Alpirs kept it just out of his grasp. "And how old is this girl?"
"She is de little thing,"
Jinjab replied, holding his hand out just below waist level.
"How old?"
The Bedin stared at him hard.
4, 5? "Think, my friend, it is important," said Alpirs.
Jinjab closed his eyes, his lips moving, and a few words, a reference to an event or a hot summer, occasionally slipped forth.
5, 10, he said. "Just 5 in the spring."
Alpirs couldn't contain his grin, and he looked to the similarly smiling Untaris.
63,
Untaris said, counting back the years. The two Shadovar nodded and exchanged smiles.
"My egal,"
Jinjab said, reaching for the item, but again Alpirs pulled it back from him.
"You are certain of this?"
5, yes, 5,
the Bedin informant replied.
"No,"
Alpirs clarified.
"Of all of it, you are certain that this child is
special?"
"She is the one,"
the Bedin replied.
"She's singing, all the time singing, singing words that make no words, you know."
"Sounds like any other child," Untaris said skeptically, "making up words and singing nonsensically."
No, not like that,"
Jinjab replied, frantically waving his skinny arms around from out of his triangular sleeves.
"Singing dispels."
"A wizard, you claim," said Alpirs.
"She make the garden grow."
"Her garden? Her shrine?"
Jinjab nodded enthusiastically.
"So you have told us," said Untaris, "and yet we have not seen this shrine."
The old Bedin informant squinted and looked around, shading his eyes and obviously trying to get his bearings. He pointed to the southeast, to a high sand dune with a white alabaster pillar showing among the blowing sand.
"Beyond that dune, to the south, hidden among the rocks where the wind has blown the sand away."
"How far to the south?"
Alpirs asked, holding up his hand to prevent Untaris from speaking.
Jinjab shrugged. "Long walk, short ride."
"Across the open, hot sands?"
Alpirs asked, not hiding his own skepticism now.
Jinjab nodded.
"You said the camp was to the west,"
Untaris said before Alpirs could stop him. Again, the Bedin informant offered a nod.
"A new camp, then," said Alpirs.
"No," said Jinjab. "Been there since the spring."
"But the girl's shrine is the other way, a long walk."
"We ought to believe that a child crosses the desert alone. A long walk, you said, and across dangerous ground," Untaris reasoned.
Jinjab shrugged, letting his answers stand. Alpirs hooked the egal over a loop on his belt and held up his hand when Jinjab started to protest.
"We will go and see this shrine," he explained, "and then we will return to you."
"It is hidden,"
Jinjab protested.
Of course it is,
Unteras snorted, and he climbed up on his pinto.
Could it be any other way?
No, unacceptable, Jean-Jab protested. I have done as you asked, and will be paid. The girl is in the camp.
You will remain here, and perhaps you will be paid, Al-Piers replied.
Oh, there will be some reward indeed,
Unteras added ominously. Jean-Jab swallowed hard.
If you are confident in your information, you will remain here.
You will pay, the Bedin insisted.
Or? Asked Al-Piers.
Or he will go and tell the Desai,
Unteras added, and when both Shadovar turned to regard the old Bedin threateningly, the blood drained from Jean-Jab's face.
No,
he started to protest, but the word was cut short as a long dagger appeared in Al-Piers's hand, its tip coming to rest against the poor Bedin's throat in the blink of an eye.
Ride with my friend, Al-Piers instructed,
and Unteras reached a hand down to Jean-Jab.
I cannot go,
the Bedin stammered.
I am. The Desai do not know I am out. They will miss Jean-Jab. They will look for...
Al-Piers retracted the knife and kicked the old Bedin hard in the groin. He bent low as Jean-Jab doubled over and whispered into the man's ear.
The Desai can do nothing to you that I won't do if you don't get up on that horse right now.
Without even waiting for an answer, Al-Piers moved to his own horse and mounted, and indeed, Jean-Jab took Unteras's hand and settled in as the two mounts charged off toward the high dune in the southeast. 5-year-old Rukia scrambled around the side of the tent and crouched low against the fabric, trying to control her breathing.
Over here!
She heard Tanud call out, but fortunately her tormentor was moving in the wrong direction between a different pair of tents. Rukia dropped to her belly and crept forward, smiling as the gaggle of older children followed Tanud further astray. She had avoided them for now, but it was only a temporary reprieve, she knew from long experience, for Tanud was a relentless adversary and took great pleasure in showing his dominance. The girl sat back and considered her next move. The sun sank low into the western sky, but the tribe had found a new wellspring, and the celebration would continue long after dark, she knew. The children would not be told to go to sleep, and the mud fight would continue, encouraged by the adults. The mud pit caused by the wellspring symbolized that there was enough water to waste